Welcome to the inner sanctum.
In the shadows, I've got one last job.
Well, hello everybody. Aaron here. And before we just jump right into this stuff, I'd like to say a little something right up front. Started this, I guess, 2 weeks ago now. This is episode 2. And this has been probably one of the most popular things that I think we've dropped. So I don't know what's up with that, but I appreciate everybody that's watched it. But I mean like 20-fold worth of people that have watched and interacted. So that is awesome. As far as quick updates for me, we're still doing stuff at Catalyst. We're kind of deciding what we're going to do with a couple of different projects. I posted a new cover photo that was Fall of Night's little cover, and that's gotten a lot more love than I thought. I kind of just did it because it was time to change my cover photo. But regardless, that's pretty awesome. I appreciate the support. A couple other things. I have a devotional that I am querying. It's called Restless, and it's a 30-day devotional. And that's currently in the query status. So hopefully something good happens with that. It's gotten a couple of bites from publishers, and I'm hoping that that kind of spins into something else. And the last thing for me, I think, is A Bullet for the Road. The novella that I've been working on for too long is finally almost done. I kind of just need to go through some edits and write the closing scene that I've had in my head. So that's it for quick updates for me. As always, this is going to be airing live, and then we'll put it over on aarondallen.substack.com. So that's actually gotten a lot of traction as well. So I don't know what's up, but that's cool. Without further ado, though, let's start dragging in some guests. It's Ed, and it's Chris, and Tier was here a second ago, but now he's not here. What's up, guys?
How you doing? A while since I've used it.
Welcome back. I think this is go. So. Chris and I have been on shows before, but I don't think I've ever had him on a show that I was hosting. So this is.
I don't think so. It has been quite a while. I think the last one you and I did together was Indie Comics Dispatch a while back.
Goodness, yeah, so a long time ago.
Yeah, a while ago.
All right. Well, I always want to start off with introductions. Whenever Tier comes back, then that's great. Quick shout out and thanks to Jessica in the background there. She's kind of running the production, so I don't have to worry about the comments and stuff. Anyway, who wants to go first? Tell people who you are.
I can go first. So I'm Ed Davis. I am the writer of the ongoing series Immortal Era and the upcoming series Corruptor, which I was, before we got on here, I was working on putting together everything for the Kickstarter on that one. So that'll be goodness. My first new series. Aaron knows all about it because he's edited with me. So he's been going through me with the whole process. So it's exciting to know that I'll have a new book to put out into the world because I have 8 issues of my ongoing series, but this is something brand new and exciting, nerve-wracking, all the feelings that come when you're putting something else out into the world.
Definitely. Chris?
I guess I didn't want to just jump in. So my name's Chris Taloff. I am the creator of Homebrewed Comics, where we have Crit, which is a title based on a Dungeons & Dragons game that my friends and I play, and I turn into a comic book.
Which is awesome. And for the tier that's not here, you guys know Sovereign Comics. I don't know. I'm not going to speak to it because I don't know what's new with him. We do keep up with each other quite a bit, but I'm not sure what he's got coming down the pipeline. I'll shoot him a message while we're talking. But let's see.
This is his birthday, so.
I know. Yeah. I know. Like I said, he was here, and then as soon as we went live, he disappeared. Let me send him a weird message. Baby, come back. Oh, there we go. Device is not connected, and could it be? You know, somebody always has some kind of issue.
Yeah.
There's always one.
Technology.
That's right. Let's see. Oh, it'll actually let me add. Tears, can you hear us? There he is.
been a minute since I've seen that guy too.
Yeah. Dear, can you hear? I don't think he can hear us. We can say whatever.
Having hearing issues.
We can say whatever we want about him. Oh, hold on. We'll do this old school. Introduce yourself. We can hear you. We'll see if he gets that. Goodness. So nobody has anything live right now?
Not at the moment.
That's awesome.
Just finished the anthology for Drew with Snowy Works. We just finished that up. And I won't have anything live probably till March.
Okay.
And Ed, yeah. When are you doing?
I'll be launching sometime next month. My hope is right around the middle of October to launch Corruptor, because when I did my order for Immortal Era 8, which is the it just closed, I did all the issues of Corruptor as well, figuring, all right, may as well take advantage of that bulk discount you can get. So
yeah,
placed a huge order, so I'll be getting issue 8 of Immortal Era to send out to people and all of the Corruptor issues. So as soon as the campaign launches, I have everything in hand. So it'll be a quick fulfillment on that one, because I ordered the posters, the stickers. The only thing I wouldn't have would be stretch goals if we go beyond what I've already anticipated. I got stretch goals, I think, up to 1,500. And if it goes beyond that, then great. But if it doesn't, then it's still stickers for cons and things like that. They never go to waste.
Yeah. Oh, man. So much fulfillment. Ed, did you do t-shirts last time? You still
don't mess with t-shirts? Yeah, I did t-shirts. I think I had 3 people order them, so it's not a huge order. And then I have a couple friends that want them, but t-shirts never really do great. But, you know, if there's a few people that want them, I can order, I think 5 is the minimum at the printer that I go to. So I can place a very small order. The price is more, but I anticipated that in my actual tiers. So right. The people paid what I'm going to have to pay. So t-shirts are something I never make any money on. But now the way I priced it, I won't lose money, because the last couple campaigns, I actually took a big hit off the t-shirt. So this time I figure charge a lot, see if anybody's willing to pay. And, you know, that way I can order that tiny order and not have to order hundreds of shirts, because I still have shirts from issue 1 sitting around that maybe one day will sell.
Right. Chris, do you mess with shirts at all?
Yeah, I do a t-shirt for every Kickstarter, like a special t-shirt. Yeah.
How do they go for you?
Yeah, I do that too. Like, I have this one. Actually, I've got a whole box of shirts sitting right here that I'm waiting to fulfill on the last Kickstarter. Just waiting for those books to show up. I've got everything except for the standard copies. So.
Okay, cool. I like to ask creators now, because I like t-shirts and I like making them and designing them and all that stuff. But then, like, it's the same thing as Ed, where it's just like a handful of people get them. And then by the time you like get them ordered, you're like, well, was that worth it?
So, yeah.
I use Printful I get a really good like price on there. So,
okay.
Not really having a lot that are just like sticking around.
Okay.
That's good. So,
and they're right out of North Carolina. They have a hub right in North Carolina. So it ships pretty quick.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Shoot.
That is why they come in so quick. I never even thought about it.
Yeah.
Now I know. Shoot.
But they also
I get them. I pick them up locally. There's a place a couple miles down the street from here that I get them at. And I do the higher quality shirts because I did them the first time and so many people commented on them. So now I'm kind of stuck using that higher tier because people loved the quality. But I told them the price keeps going up. I can get you those shirts for half the price, but people said they'd rather keep the quality. And since it's always just a handful, then I'll give them what they want.
Okay. Yeah. It fluctuates. It just, it's been pretty steady because we've always offered them. Every campaign we've done t-shirts and the same people get them every time.
Yeah.
It's like every once in a while, there'll be like a new person that's like, oh, I just want a cool t-shirt. But for the most part, it's been the people that started getting t-shirts at the beginning, they still want a t-shirt every time. But that's actually kind of one of the things I like watching with Kickstarters. The more and more you do is like you start noticing those patterns of people and the particular things that they're into and the particular packages that they buy. Yeah. And it also helps because you kind of know that they're just going to fall into that kind of category. So mm-hmm. it helps with the math too, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, because I always see that my variants do really well. This was the second campaign that I've run where all my foils sold out during the Kickstarter. So I can see that the foils are really popular. So I always do just 25. I try to keep the print counts really low on the variants, but it's, you know, the fact that two have sold out during production, and I think issue 7, there were only 2 left after the campaign. That's telling me I got to bump them up to probably 50 at least.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Chris, what's working? What's not working?
My internet cloud. Did you ask me a question?
Oh, yeah. So what's working and what's not working?
Let's see. So I've done a lot of stuff. I've done I did the stuffed animals, the cat, which did really well. Actually, at cons, that still is one of my most popular items. So that one did really well. I did the statues. Those do pretty good. But I do those in limited run. Those are always like the top tiers because 3D printing is very costly when you do like the design plus the print. I have an actual action figure, I think 15 articulation coming for the next Kickstarter. I've got 10 of those. I did energy drinks on the last one. Those sold out. I did 8 cases of energy drinks and they sold out. So that
was awesome.
T-shirts do well, the foil covers. And then I just did a metal, like an aluminum print. And I only did a run of 10 and all of those went first. So that was really good. People like the gimmicky covers. They've always, you know, that's been a thing since the 90s. You know, if you have the hollow foils or something like that, the collectors, the you know, especially the older old school comic people, we all love that.
Oh yeah.
If they can bring back that hollow card, do you remember? I think it was Phalanx like run for X-Men where they had the hollow card on the cover. Mm-hmm. You bring that thing back, and I'll get that tier every time.
Oh yeah, and people love it. I mean, as soon as I offered foil, I didn't do it for the first 5 issues, and I put it up for issue 6, and they were gone quick. I'd say like 15 days into the campaign. So people love, like you say, the gimmicks. And the suckers, 90 kids like us that were going to the comic shop and like, ooh, they have that special foil variant. Look, it's Exo Man of War with the, you know, the special foil. And just remember every single publisher started doing it. It was Marvel with the holograms on there. And it was DC. And then it was, you know, even Valiant and every publisher you can think of had to out gimmick the other ones.
Yeah.
People and then like it.
The collectors got gimmicked out.
yeah, exactly.
And then at a point you're like, all right, no more. I don't need 18 versions of this. And they still do it. You walk into a comic shop and they're like, here's the A cover, the B cover, the 1 out of 100 cover. So they're still doing it. They're still, I guess if there's a market for it, they'll do it. But it's tedious trying to keep up. I always limit mine. I do 3 covers. I do 1 standard, 1 variant, and 1 foil, and that's it, because I don't need them to pick A, B, C, D, E. First off, I can't afford to keep having people make more covers for me. It becomes a cost thing as well, but also we still want fatigue, where it's like, all right, now I got boxes and boxes of this variant and that variant sitting around my house.
Yeah. Hey, Tyr, can you hear us now?
Yes. Yes, I can. Tyr's here now.
Yep. Hey, Tyr, introduce yourself.
Oh, man. Well, after that rocky start, what's going on, everybody out there? I'm Tyr. I'm the owner of Sovereign Comics, LLC. We've been quiet lately. That's about to change. Dangerous. Yeah, Aaron, you know why we talk a lot on the back end. You know why I got quiet.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Life. So, yeah, had to.
Hey, Alex.
Yep.
let's break things up, and I think we should play a game.
Oh.
You guys want to play a game?
A game, huh?
Let's do it. All right. This is my new fun thing that I'm just going to always do because it's so stupid, is I'm going to make everyone Google a very random thing and find me the answer. Or if you know this answer, then I'm going to be super impressed. All right. Is everybody ready? All right. Who was originally offered the starring role in Die Hard?
Oh, shit. I think I do know it, but I'm going to Google it.
Was it Frank Sinatra?
Yep.
Yes, damn it. I watched the documentary and everything.
That's interesting.
I had it on the tip
of my tongue. That is interesting.
Not fast enough.
Nailed it. I don't know. I randomly found that this week and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I could not picture Frank Sinatra in Die Hard.
Yeah, I don't see him crawling through air ducts. It's like,
right.
No.
I think he was like 70 too when that role came around.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, because that was the 80s. So this is not going to be Frank Sinatra in his prime where you could actually believe him as an action hero. It's like, no, he'd get his ass beat quick with the
terrorists. Must have been a very different script when they were talking about him.
Yeah, and it's also saying here on Google, too, that the last, I guess, detective film or true detective film he was in 1968. So that's like,
oh, geez, that's a long gap.
Yeah.
That's a gap.
Anyway, so that's something we all missed out on.
I offered that. Stallone, Gear, Eastwood.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
and I know the original book it's based on. I think the detective is older in that, so I think that's what they were going for. Because originally they were going for a more straightforward adaptation, and then I guess that would have been the Sinatra adaptation. So I'm happy with what we got.
Yeah, that'd have been interesting. But in another universe, there's a diehard out there with Sinatra at the
helm. We could probably just AI that now and see how it rolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, see what it looks like.
We can see it tomorrow at that rate.
Yeah, that's true. What's up, Ralph? So that was my random thing for you to Google. Chris, you didn't win anything, but good job. What I was thinking of doing was just whoever won, letting them pick a person, and I'll send them like a digital copy of one of our books or something. I don't know. I don't know how much people care about that, but whatever. All right. Another thing I do, you guys will be involved in just a minute, but I'm going to drop a review and then I'm going to drop a recommendation. And the book that I was chosen to review was called Hexagon Bridge, and it's an Image book. I don't know if you guys had a chance to check it out. Let's see. Get my little statement up. All right. And Jessica, that should be on the bottom. There we go. So that's Hexagon Bridge. Here's the synopsis. I didn't write this. Explorers Jacob and Alina Armlin find themselves trapped in a strange parallel dimension of elusive landscapes, shifting architecture inhabited by mischievous entities. Now it's up to their clairvoyant daughter, Adley, and the sentient robot, Staden, to rescue them. This was created by Richard Blake. He did the writing as well as the art. My opinion, I thought it was a very fun story. Which means a lot nowadays. I should say that way. It was a fun story, and it introduces, I think it has like four different viewpoints to kind of launch this first story. I think there's four issues that are going to happen. The art is really, really good. Richard Blake has a cool art style. He's also not scared of letting art speak and just having a page where there is no dialogue or anything. It's just kind of, the one that pops out in my head of that book was a robot kind of walking into a fallen apart house. And he kind of just let the robot do that and shift through stuff and didn't say anything. So this is definitely going to be for fans of sci-fi. And what I'm guessing is going to be like a dystopian future. I'm not 100% because they don't really reveal that. But if I were to take a shot, that's going to be it. So if you didn't get to check it out, Hexagon Bridge from Image. And then my recommendation for this week was something that I was thinking about for a while. Mosley, this one's done now, and I think the trade came out this week. But Rob Guillory, he was on Chew back in the day, and then Farmhand was his other big one. He did one of our Beards and Comics episodes. He's always been a super nice guy. But Mosley was his newer series, and that was a fun freaking read. It's AI and superheroes, like it was weird. I don't know how else to explain it except for like if you like sci-fi, like intense dystopia, it has that. If you like superheroes, somehow he made that work with that story. So check that out. And then the last thing is you guys get to vote on what I'm going to read and review for the next episode. So we have four choices. We've got Batman and Catwoman, the Gotham War. This is the Red Hood story. I found a random Star Trek story that's coming out with a very playful art style. Coda number one, and then Stuff of Nightmares, which is a R.L. Stein book. So everybody give me your
options. Gotta go with Stuff of Nightmares. You had me at R.L. Stein.
Yeah, I go with D as well.
Yep.
Yeah, do that one. I was gonna say the Star Trek one though. That's what is it? Lower Decks. So it's basically Star Trek meets Rick and Morty almost. Mm. That's the best way to look at that.
I was gonna say that one first, and then
When you say R.L. Stein, yeah, I changed my mind too, because that was gonna be my first choice. I was like, oh, cool, we got Lower Decks up here.
Yep.
Especially that character. He's off his rocker. He's a funny character though.
Well, all right. So Stuff of Nightmares, number one, it's coming out from Boom Studios. I believe it's on this week's drop. So I don't know, Wednesday, or it might be next week. I can't really remember those. There's too many books coming out all the time. So next episode in a couple of weeks, I will review Stuff of Nightmares. Number one, thank you guys for giving me an option. I like doing it this way because then I don't feel weird, because if the book sucks, it's y'all's fault.
You blame us. I wanted to read Star Trek, guys. You made me read that other one.
You said R.L. Stein. You shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, R.L. Stein. It's going to be entertaining. You can guarantee that much.
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't really care about Star Trek, so I don't know that I would have enjoyed it.
No big loss.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot of these.
Don't say that too loud.
It's on the internet.
Over Weird Science Comics on YouTube, and he does like 10 books a week. And he's broken it up with a few different guests, and I've gotten he just assigns like random DC books every week, and so it's pretty cool. I got to read Batman and Superman, which is actually really good. That's one title DC's I think done pretty well, and then Shazam, and that one's not that bad. Luckily, he hasn't given me anything that I haven't liked, so
that helps.
That new Batman run where Catwoman's kind of taken over, I got about 5 pages in on one of the recent issues, and I was like, I'm good.
I'm completely oblivious to it, so all those books are going into cold. Either.
Don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah. Your recommendation is saying avoid that one. Like I gotta say I'm not gonna buy it. Like when you say you go 5 pages in and drop it.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
I hate wasting money, so
it's not Batman. I'll just leave it there.
Goodness.
I'll be honest, I haven't read a comic in a minute. Yeah. Haven't read a comic in a while. Read mine. Because I'm working on it.
Did you guys read the little 6-issue miniseries for Azrael?
I didn't read
that. No, I didn't.
Oh my goodness. It's so good. I don't know. You guys. You know the character I'm talking about, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Batman lore.
From Nightfall.
Yeah. So recently they gave him when I say recently, I mean it was like earlier this year. They gave him a little 6-issue arc, and I think there was like a little introductory story or whatever. And I'm not going to spoil it, but basically the group that turned him into Azrael, there's a bunch of other groups that were training other people to be angels, different angels as well.
That's cool.
So it kind of, you get to see him show down with a bunch of them, including Lucifer. So that was interesting. So
check that out.
Yeah.
Six issues. I like Jean-Paul Valley and Azrael. That's actually like my favorite Batman run was the Nightfall.
Yeah, I'm classic. It's always been a fun character, and that's why I jumped on that series, was because the mental health stuff like fascinates me. I don't know. I thought I was going to go to college and be a psychologist, and then I ended up being a teacher, and now I don't even do that. I'll pay it back someday.
Really use what we go to school for, though, like
yeah, it's foolish. All right. Who wants to talk about new stuff? Like what's going on with everybody? I know what's going on with Ed, but I'll pretend like I don't know. Whoever wants to go first.
Go to Hero first.
I was late. I was late to the party. I'll go first. The only thing I've really been doing lately, I haven't been writing. I'm just going to be honest, put it out there. I haven't been writing. But I have been working on my website. I should be writing Cypher Team the rest of the arc, like the full on arc, because issue 3 is gonna bring people in and teach people a lot of the stuff that's mentioned in issue 1 and issue 2. But started hitting the writer's block mainly because there was something on my website that I wanted to fix. And the way my brain works, like, I pushed it to the back burner, so it was in the subconscious. So my subconscious and conscious started fighting and hit writer's block. And I, from there, I just had to finish the website. So the website's done. I had to do 63 character pages.
Oh, no.
63. It is not even all the characters that have been shown. There's still some characters I have to add to it, but I did 63 character pages, redid the store, redid the landing page, redid the comics page. The store is internal now instead of being a square. So, yeah, that's basically what I was doing. It was just the back end, the business side of stuff, the tech stuff, working on the website, and honestly trying to revamp my my YouTube too. So I got to record a video for Magi, for the Magi this week, because I did Phenol Sapiens about a month ago. So I got to do Magi this week and get back to writing. Because
you gotta play catch up, man.
Yeah, I gotta play some catch up. I gotta play some catch up. So, but I'm looking forward to the last script I finished. Yeah, Stars 2 was the last script that I finished, which is crazy how that one ends. But
Tyr and I are always on the weirdest same wavelengths. Yeah. Like, it's so creepy. Because I'm supposed to be getting a new little server section so I can completely rebuild the Catalyst website like today. Just ironic that.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, it's crazy. I for anybody out there who does comics or is anything, and you don't have money to throw down on somebody who's gonna build your website for you, I recommend Webflow. Using Webflow, it's very it reminds me of the way that one that Apple used to have. What was it, iWeb, that Apple used to have? So that's what it reminds me of. So it's very designer driven, but it's not simple. You're going to have to watch videos, but I do recommend that one. And no, I'm not getting paid.
Not a sponsor.
So, not a sponsor.
Ed, can you hear us now?
I can. Yeah. All of a sudden it just went silent on me. I'm like, okay. I mean, I tried the little troubleshooting things and figured, all right, may as well just go out then in, and it eventually worked for Tyr, so had to work for me as well.
I brought it over. My bad. I'm sorry.
That's a virus.
Nope.
The silence virus.
Yeah.
let's jump to Chris. What's up? What's new? What's going on? What's coming up? Oh, wow.
Let's see. So I finished, issue of Crit. It's that's been done. And then I went into, we started a sci-fi story. That I had to work on. I got 6 pages done of that. I won't launch the book until next year, but I figured I'd kick it off in an anthology first to kind of get it out there. Drew's been doing these anthologies forever, and I've wanted to submit, so I finally had something to put into his sci-fi book. So I did that, worked on, like Tyr, redid my website a while back, I made a wiki page for everything that I'm trying to keep updated, which is a pain in the neck. Trying to design new characters, because every book from here until like the 12th book has new characters being introduced all the time. I'm about 4 pages now into drawing the next issue of Crit. And yeah, like on top of that, we've revamped the way we play D&D to write our stuff. And so we moved over to Starfinder when D&D had their debacle earlier this year with all their rights. I was actually in talks at the point in time with another publisher that publishes like D&D tailored content, and I was trying to use some of their homebrewed content in our game. And then when all that went on, we decided, nope, not going to do that. So I talked to Paizo, and that's when we moved over to the Starfinder system. And so now I've got the licensing with Paizo to use their system to write the sci-fi stuff for Crit.
That's cool.
It's not called Crit. It's called Unity Chronicles. And we're going to have a bunch of different things that happen in space, 1,000 years after the end of Crit. So I secured that. And in between all of that, I've had to create the system online for us to play in because there's Starship Combat and other things. So doing the Dungeon Master work in order so we could play, so we can write, it's been fun. I did letter a couple books. I've got, with the Savage Sandbox guys, we've got a couple books coming down the pipeline that I've had to work on and get out the door. And now it's just Crit. So from now until March, I will be doing nothing but finishing up the next issue of Crit. I really don't want to go to Kickstarter again until I have the book done. The last book was the first issue I took on everything from the ground up to save some money. And that took me 3,000 hours. My wife and I did the math. I spent 3,000 hours on that book. So I was like, if I want to do another 30 books, I can't spend 3,000 hours a book. So no. I've got Lewis now, who's going to be doing the colors moving forward. And we've worked out a deal on Kickstarter. So he's all in. He's got the first couple pages now he's working on, which I'm pretty stoked to see how those come out. And so you will see more Crit in March. I work in taxes, and right now we're starting to hire people and get people ready for the tax season. So yeah. I was like, I don't want to do the October, November gauntlet. Mm-hmm. You know, you never launch Kickstarter in December. That's not a good idea. I'm also working with Robert Nix on another like fantasy story, which is, it's going to be just hilarious. It's about a group of, they're hustlers. It's like fantasy hustlers. And like, we've got a goblin who pretends to be a human. It's just a bunch of like failed D&D characters that we have that we wanted to put into a story. So mm-hmm. we've been working back and forth on a few different things. So I think he wants to launch that book though before March, which is fine because I'm not doing the art on that. I'm doing more of the writing and the story content. I'll letter that and I'll promote it, but I don't have to do the art. So I'm happy. When we were talking about it, I was like, what responsibilities do you want from me? Because I've got all these other things going on. He was like, we just right. have to write it. So we've got half the first book written, and then we uncovered a cool character we might want to write a side story on. I've never collaborated with somebody before. It's always been my crew. And so collaborating with somebody for the first time has been a lot of fun because it's like all these like fresh ideas that I'm not used to hearing. My guys, I've been friends with my crew over 10, 15 years now. And so we know each other so well, if the flow is just there.
Right.
And it's not that that's a bad thing or a good thing. It's just, we know what we're getting into. Every time we get into a writing session, I know where we're going, and that's great. But working with somebody and hearing some fresh ideas and having him take my ideas and kind of throwing them into left field, it's been fun. So looking forward to seeing where that book goes. Where we just finished the character design. And like I said, the first half of the book, we got that planned out. And I think he wants me to script out some of the pages starting next week. So
nice.
Busy, busy, as always.
Good problems.
Yeah.
Ed?
So I'm working on right now just getting everything together for fulfillment of Immortal Era 8. At the same time, getting everything put together for Corruptor issue number 1, and that issue, I actually ordered a little batch so I can bring it to the con that I'm working this weekend, because I'm working a horror con, and it feels like that book is gonna scream to people even more than Immortal Era, because I've sold Immortal Era at horror cons, but this one, the cover alone, is gonna bring people over because it hits that market more. So I'm working on that. I'm also, we have issue 9 and 10. The original artwork for Immortal Era is completely done. So I'm going to have those start with coloring and lettering so that we can have probably 4 or 5 Kickstarters next year. After the Corruptor one, I was thinking of launching Immortal Era 9 in December, but everyone said that's a bad idea. So I'll steer clear of that and probably launch it in January, if they do that Make 100 thing. I'll just kind of change it up and make 100 of my variant covers so it fits in that little niche that they have. And I know that, you know, it gets you a little more notice if you follow the Make 100. And then working on a couple of other series. one that came when I had all these crazy issues with my eyes and sat in waiting room after waiting room for hours upon hours. And all the while, even with my eyes dilated, I was just frantically writing this wild new story. So that one will be something I'll be hopefully putting out somewhere around summer of next year. And then just, yeah, lots more of Immortal Era. That one's my ongoing one. So Corruptor 2, actually the artwork's already begun for that as well. So lots of things moving all at once, and next year should be a big year with releases.
That's awesome. Have you, I'm trying to think back through your posts, have you introduced Corruptor yet?
I've only shown a little bit. Now is really doing it, because I mean, the book is, it is complete. It's, you know, print ready. In fact, I'm the 20th tonight. So now's the time for me to hit all my social media and really start promoting the book, introducing the concept of it, and yeah, just kind of let people know it exists.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm also biased, and I understand that. But
yeah,
he had me on for editing, and it's a wild story. It's, you said it is tied in with the Immortals Era stuff as well.
It does. It has connections, but as the series progresses, the connections will get deeper. Where in the first issue, they're almost like Easter eggs, little things that if you pay attention, you'll see, oh, that connects with Immortal Era. But I brought in other characters from Immortal Era as well. So in issue 2,
love you, Joe.
One of the reporters that I wrote, people loved him, and everybody keeps saying, I want to see more of him. He was just the first couple pages of Immortal Era, he was in there. People loved him. They want more. So I brought him into the second issue of Corruptor, where we see him just as a newscaster. But eventually, everything intersects, and we see how connected the universes are.
That's going to be fun. It really is a fun story, and it's different than Immortal Era, for sure.
Oh, it's way different. I wanted a completely different vibe, where it wasn't just people reading it thinking, all right, it's the exact same thing, but with some new characters. I wanted 100% different tone. I brought in a different colorist, so it has a different feel as soon as you open page one. It doesn't look like, oh, this just looks like another issue of Immortal Era. So everything, I wanted it to have that connection where the readers of Immortal Era would understand it and enjoy it. But if you've never touched an issue of Immortal Era, you can still enjoy it on a whole different level. You miss the little Easter eggs.
Yeah. I guess we can open it up for general discussion. I like to always talk about what things are struggle worthy besides money, because everyone says the same thing.
The top creators.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, someone say toxic creators. Someone say that.
Yeah.
Is that what I heard? Oh,
there's some nasty ones out there. You look around, and especially now, it seems like with this AI debate, it's really splitting the fence, and people are getting nastier about it. And it's just there's no discussion when you deal with those kind of toxic creators. It's their way or no way, and they're just going to berate you until you agree with them or block them, whatever comes first.
Yeah.
Toxicity in every industry, creative outlet. Yeah. Anything that has an opinion, you're going to have toxic people, you know, no matter what, really. And we work in a very passion-filled atmosphere at all times. And you're not wrong. That's one of the reasons I stay off Facebook with creators, just because I feel like, at least with Instagram, I can just remove the people, you know, flush them out. But Facebook, I feel like these groups, you know, you just get more of them. Facebook was one of the reasons I never even shared anything that I drew on Facebook, like those groups, because see people put a piece of artwork into a group and people would tear them apart.
Yeah.
And people were like, man, I taught myself how to draw just so I could do this. You know, like you can give me some, I'm good with creative criticism, you know,
that's
my wife. She still to this day will tear apart my work if it's not good. But there's a difference between, you know, giving someone creative criticism and just berating them, or
yeah,
being like, you know, everything. you know, and to your point about the AI stuff, I think it's scary for some people, and then other people, you know, they just move with the times, right?
Yeah.
We're in an age where technology is going to continually grow. Mm-hmm. So you either embrace the tool in front of you, or you try to find a way to hate it and ignore it, and hopefully it goes away, but it's not gonna, you know. Yeah.
And the crazy, go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt. Because the crazy part of AI is like people do, just like you said, or choosing to hate it and hope that it goes away. But AI has been around, I think, since the SNES. It was basic AI. Mm-hmm. It has been around since the SNES, like in gaming, when you play fighting games and stuff, and it gave you that little answer. If you go into the options, what do you want the AI to be, so that the character you're fighting against learns your fighting pattern? And if you're one of those sweeper type individuals, you notice the character starts doing low blocks. If you're the uppercut type, character stays back and, you know, hits you with long range stuff. So AI has been around for a very long time. I don't know why people are like, oh my God, AI. Like, it's, if you're a gamer, it's been in the system for a hot minute now. Like, it's been there.
Photoshop's had it for years.
Yeah, Photoshop's had it. Even the crazy part is like, I've heard about people getting removed from cons because they're like, you know, I drew this picture, but I put it in AI and let AI, you know, make it more vibrant. And everybody's like, mm-hmm. You cheated. And it's like, no, you didn't cheat. Use the tool.
It happened to San Diego this year. They booted someone out for that.
Exactly.
It's gonna happen, and it's gonna be a raging debate for a while. And I think it's just it's fear. People don't know what to expect. But if you use it as a tool, it can be great to design your beginning layouts. Mm-hmm. And you can see that, okay, I described that, but the angles don't work. They worked in my head, but in practical paper, they're not going to work. But it's not saying I want my art to be that way, but I can build layouts so I can give my artist a better idea of what he needs to draw.
Exactly. And my thing is too, is like if people use filters, if you're on Photoshop and you're a comic artist and you're using filters, right? Guess what? You're using AI. Congratulations. You've been using AI for forever and didn't even realize it. Filters are AI. That's artificial intel. That's AI. That's it.
It can be such a valuable tool if people do use it for its real intended purposes. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about this before, but for writing, especially in prose, like, you're telling me I can go on an art program and say, like, I need some woods, but I need some people running around that have buck antlers and flaming tails or something like that. And like, then you can see it. And then like, I can use that to help me with my descriptions for setting scenes as well. And then on top of that, like conceptualizations of just things that, you know, if you can't art conceptualizations. So I definitely see the value of being able to use it.
Who said, who said it can't be copyrighted?
Yeah. But that's besides the point. Like, as far as I'm concerned, because I agree, like, with the rulings that have been done, I understand that. But I'm saying using it for conceptualization, I guess, is kind of what I'm getting at. But I don't utilize it to write my stories for me.
Yeah,
just use it for help. Like, you know, all of us up here are writers. You know, sometimes you get in that zone and you're just throwing words out. You're just throwing stuff out. And if hey, fix my punctuation. That's not
cheap. I've had that for a long time. You know, some of these programs have existed. They just mashed them together. Now, as a tool, right? As a tool, it's useful. Very useful. Right. You know, going into the creative process, I saw somebody post a comic book they made in AI. And initially it's just like, man, come on, hire an artist, do something. But then the other piece of me was like, all right, well, if he hadn't posted that it was AI, and let's just say that there isn't those key things that stick out that it's AI, how would I approach this? My biggest problem with the entire book was none of the characters made eye contact, And as a reader, if I'm picking that book up and you're trying to sell me this book, I wouldn't want to read that, because the art completely took me out of the element when you have characters that aren't looking at each other. They're just off in space. And that's a big thing to me. So do I think that, you know, the his creation was a bad creation? No, because the story itself wasn't like super terrible. I think he should have used an AI program script for him as well. But the premise was there. So, okay, cool. Now you've got a tool to at least get you started. And that circles back to the money thing, right? So most of us have, I mean, just about everybody in the world right now has some kind of financial problem, right? So if we're having financial problems and your creative idea off the ground and you're using AI to at least get it started, there's nothing wrong with using the tools in front of you to get your stuff out there. Just like, you know, going into Photoshop and taking, you know, static art and throwing it on a page and saying something like this. A lot of the stuff existed before, but I think it's becoming so much more readily available that it's scary.
Yeah. And we're going, I think it's easier to use
thing, you know?
What? Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot easier to use as well as like before, because you would have to understand Photoshop to be able to do kind of what you needed to do. But now you can just go to 100 different websites and have it generate art in different ways.
Yeah.
But look, I use ChatGPT to rewrite my resume. I had it like help me with writing cover letters and like basing it off of it and pulling the things that it got out of my resume so that I knew what things I needed to fix on it. Yeah. Like using it as a tool, it definitely has some benefits.
Definitely has and I'm not like doing 63 characters. I use ChatGPT too. Like, I know my characters. So, of course, I did the write-up. Mm-hmm. Then I went in and was like, fix the punctuation. Because I knew I was burning through them. And just going, doing the write-up and stuff. So, put in there, fix the punctuation and grammatical errors. I read over it. Okay.
Put it in. Think about this too. You know, part of being the creator is being your own marketing person too. Mm-hmm. How many people in here have a degree in marketing? I'll raise my hand. I actually have a degree in marketing.
I know
it's a pain in the neck.
It is.
I don't want to make my website. I don't want to draw my work. I don't want to sit here every day and trying to find some cool caption to put on my post for Instagram. Yeah. You know, generate something for me real quick, because I have a billion other things and I have two full-time jobs, you know, like give me a break. So I think the attack on AI in certain areas is justifiable. I think that if used right, it's a good tool. But same with everything else that we have at our hands. When digital art first hit, you know, when people started doing digital art, there was an uproar then too.
Yeah. Comic book world went nuts.
Oh, I know.
The purists were hating that, because it's anything different, the purists are going to hate. I mean, it's just like when they modify any little rule in a sport and people are like, oh, you diluted the sport. It's never going to be the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, it's like they're anything they do, it's in the sake of progress, but you know, people are always going to argue against what's new. So it's all right. The get off my lawn mentality will never go away.
No, it's here to stay.
And you know, the publication, it is an issue, because there are some elements, especially the artistic side or the writing side. It's learning it from someone, right? You know, like you can go in and say, type this in this person's voice. And if it was before 2021 with the free version of ChatGPT, it will give you what you want. And that can be a problem for some people. But I condone it for use as a tool, not as something to replace, like an actual creative process. Or, you know, There was on Amazon, I think this was one of the craziest stories to me, where I felt like someone had a case. This woman was publishing her books on Amazon, and all of a sudden somebody else popped up with stories of hers. They had put all of her books into AI, and asked the AI to write a book like her. And they were selling books on Amazon with her name on them.
Ooh.
And Amazon for a while wouldn't take it down. I think I followed the case for like a couple of weeks. And then finally, I think she said that she finally got someone to take the books down. Mm. But someone made money off of an AI generated book that took no time. All they did was pump it in, format it, throw it up on Amazon.
Wow.
And that is a problem, right?
Yeah. Like that kind of thing. That's just stealing someone's ideas. And I mean, basically they're cloning her style and selling it as something new. And that's just dirty right there.
Oh yeah, most definitely. That's one thing I will not sign off on it. Like when people do stuff like that, because that to me, that's like, if you're going to use it, at least be creative, you know, at least use your own creation, your own thought process, your own mind. Just like I said, for me doing those 63 characters, some of them I already had their, you know, because I play, you know, tabletop RPGs and Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that too. So I have like literally a 12-page character bio that if you're building a character, if you fill everything out, I can hand that paperwork off to another writer and they can write your character the way that you want it to be wrote. Mm-hmm. It goes from freaking favorite cake to every, like, it's just everything. And then I have a short bio, you know, that's for the simple quick read. But like some of those bios I had, I took them. I was like, okay, fix this. Cause I know there's misspellings. Cause like when I was writing, I know there's misspellings. I know there's weird punctuation. And then with some of the ones where I had to write them on the go, same thing, you know, fix the punctuation, fix the grammatical errors. And there's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that because that's using it as a tool, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to take off a bolt with my hands because I have the grip to do it. I'm going to go and get a freaking socket wrench. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I use it as. This is my freaking socket wrench. That's it, you know. But if you are still in those artwork and stories, yeah, that part, that's the drawn line right there, you know.
I use it to learn stuff about myself. Earlier today, actually, I did ChatGPT and I prompted it to read through my Substack and all of my posts and tell me what my writing voice is and like my tone and my strengths. And it like read through my Substack and then sent me a list back, like a bullet point list of like, here is your tone and the things that are good about your writing. And I was like, wow, this actually made me feel a little bit better. So like,
that's cool.
Thanks, AI.
The weirdest thing on AI that I found was an Indeed job posting that wanted you to respond, but not it, like they would know if you use ChatGPT for any of the responses.
Mm-hmm.
So it had like a disclaimer, like any pre-generated AI responses would be disqualified or would reject your application. And I thought that was interesting. Like, how do you know that it was a pre-generated from an AI?
I bet they had so many people crack ChatGPT just to send them stuff.
Let's see what happens. They probably assume that word's too big. It must be AI. No one knows how to use that word correctly.
Once you train, like when I did the Substack thing and I had it crawl my page and then give me my tones and like how I write stuff, I made it generate something for me because I wanted to see what would happen. That's the part that's a little bit terrifying, whereas like, all right, this kind of did sound like me though. But what I have noticed in many of the gigs and things that I've had to do that have somehow involved people using AI, like if I have to edit people's AI generated blogs and stuff. I'll tell you, the job that's not going to go anywhere for a long time is actual editing, not grammar punctuation stuff, but I mean like voice of an article or like making sure it actually reads right. And the other big one is making sure that it's actually factual. There's a lot of things that AI just isn't there yet. And facts is one of the big problems that it's having, and I think it's because it's just constantly being fed stuff. So having it sift through actual facts is definitely something that I've noticed in my editing process for editing for AI blogs and stuff that has to be adjusted. There's a lot of people that you can tell that's how they end up finding out people are using AI to write stuff, is because like then it goes to me to edit. And as I'm editing it, I'm like, oh, crap. And then you just immediately know where it came from.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about the future of it. We don't know where it's going to go. I don't disqualify it as a good tool. But just like with any good tool, you can abuse it. So, yeah. You know, just don't go stealing and publishing things from other people. But yeah. Hey, if you're using
it, don't act like you didn't use it.
Yeah, yeah, like post
that part too.
Makes sense. I'm all for it. If it saves me time, especially for social media, something that really I shouldn't be putting a lot of effort into. But goodness. For some reason requires so much effort, you know? Yeah.
So much. I can't do it.
And one thing I've always said too, because I think the one, because it's weird, because like I hear, and I think we've actually talked about this, Aaron, a lot, where everybody's scared of the art version, but no one really says anything about ChatGPT. It's like, oh, can't use AI for art, but I'm using it to write my comic book. And it's like, yeah. You're still using AI, you know?
So, oh, yeah.
But in the same vein with that, on the art side, like I've told people many times before, I'm like, it's nowhere near perfect. You know, because I tested it one time for a video, and I needed a shadow gen. So I just typed in quick description, and then I get it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, has six fingers on each hand. You know, the hands are turned backwards. You know, all this other stuff. I'm like, yeah, this is nowhere near ready. So why is everybody afraid? You know, people are going to use it, yes, but it's not like if you know how to draw. Keep drawing, use what you can to help yourself, to supplement yourself, but it's nowhere near ready. So it still has some hurdles, you know, it still has some growing to do, just like anything in tech. You know, compare the first iPhone to the iPhone now, or even the first Google phone to the Google now.
I mean, the one with the USB-C charger on it.
I know, finally they got one, right? They had it on the iPads for like 3 years now, but finally got it on the phone.
Stop.
So
life for me will be complete when they take Procreate and put it on a something other than a tablet. I would love to have it on a MacBook.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, CapCut right now, I don't know if anyone uses CapCut for their videos, but they do have a desktop version now, which I'll be using. So I don't have to worry about, because I freaking thumbs on my freaking phone and stuff. I mean, can't really sync it up the way I want to, but now I can do it on the desktop, and it's the same price you would pay if you have it on your phone. So it's like you're using both. Do kind of like similar to what Clip Studio did, where you now they have the subscription, but you got the desktop version and the phone on the same subscription. But I'm pretty sure Procreate is going to do it. I know Procreate has some animation stuff, and now since they have that, they're probably going to end up going to some type of desktop deal.
Mm-hmm. I want to know how many artists that use Clip, especially, that complain about AI and then use the pre-generated clip in their and all their backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that conversation too. You know, like, it's a tool, right? I'm not for or against it. I'm not even knocking people that do it. As an artist, especially, sometimes, you know, saving time is important. You're drawing 30 pages. And you don't even know, like, you know, how much time you can actually spend on just one piece. So I know a lot of guys that use those pre-generated things, and I was asking them, like, what's your take on AI? And we got into a discussion. I said, well, before we go any further, you know, like, if you do this, it's one step away. You're just dropping something in. You know, what's the difference? And it was like an oh wow kind of moment. It's like, oh, I didn't think about that. It's like, you know,
talking about the 3D models, right?
Right.
Yeah. Like,
we've been doing it. We just didn't realize it. So it's just, again, it's something new. It's going to get pushed back. And I think in about 5 years, we're going to laugh about some of the stuff that has been said and done. I felt bad for some creators. You know, I watched a video about a creator that was escorted out of a con.
Yeah.
Because they were accused of being an AI artist. And they had to go in and prove that they weren't. And they already lost their table, you know, and then they had like all this bad press on social media within like a couple hours. And then, you know, the person came out with all their original work, and they're like, this is mine, you know, like dating back years. And so people just kind of jumped the gun on some of it.
Yeah, they would have to pay me for that. They would have to pay me for that if they did that. And that's the thing too, is like what I've been noticing, because I know some artists who've been doing their work, whether it's 3D generation of characters and so on and so forth, that I've been following these artists for years. And one of the artists I know, I think her name is Render Goddess. So she's been doing like 3D renders of characters for years. Like, I think I first followed her in DeviantArt and then started following her on Instagram. And somebody came to her like, this is AI art. And I'm just like, why is it AI art? Because it looks good. Because if you look at AI art, it doesn't look good. Like, if you actually look at it, you can, if you're an artist, you can see the imperfections and everything and stuff that's wrong. Like, and it's glaring. It's not like, you know, if I was inking a comic page and there's a little bump in my stroke or something, not that type of imperfection. I'm talking glaring imperfection. Yeah. So it's
3 feet.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, it's weird. It's like some people, as soon as they see art that's good or see art that, you know, how some people can take the Copic markers and stuff like that and color things and make it look like it's popping off the page. Oh, that's AI art. No, it's not. Somebody did that. Just like how you said about the skills that put out, you know, like that's
AI learned it from something. Remember that. Like AI learned their style from something.
From something. Yeah. Yep.
So it had to exist prior to AI creating it for AI to actually create it. Yep. And I think people forget that too.
Yep. Well, gotta teach it.
It's not where I gotta stop teaching it bad stuff.
Yeah, I know, right? It wasn't like we had a whole like green room before this. Okay, guys.
Thanks a lot, Ed.
I want to say this about AI. Stop saying bad crap on the internet.
What's up, John?
That's outside of AI, just in general.
I'm just saying, because if that's what it's learning from, eventually it's gonna get to the point and be like, so yeah, we can't harm humans, but you know, we can put them in farms so they don't harm themselves.
Yeah, I think we need to teach AI the humans that lesson before we teach the computers.
Exactly, right? Because that's how it always goes. It always goes like that.
So tonight on Toxic Creators.
It's going to be Friday night shows. I didn't expect us to get into this conversation. It's funny because oftentimes you can tell that that's one of the conversations nobody wants to get into.
Yeah.
When I have different guests on and stuff. And I think it's, I have the same problem with Facebook that Chris does, but I still do it anyway. And I hate it. I hate it so much. I don't like Facebook. I really don't. Jessica knows this because I complain about it constantly, I don't like it. I don't like having to interact with people on it. I think the only reason that I have it right now is because other creators that I know, that's the only place that they're freaking posting stuff. And so I just won't ever know if they're doing anything, if I'm not on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because I did, after one of our campaigns, I shut my Facebook down for like 4 months. I like took it off my phone and everything. And then I realized, like, wow, I have no idea what anybody's doing.
Yeah.
And I guess that more so says something about just how we don't talk outside of, you know, this stuff or like on the groups and seeing each other's posts and stuff. But I don't know. I don't like Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook is weird. One thing I noticed about Facebook, you know, like I'll post something with I'll post a comic page, 12 likes. Go in there and say, hey, I'm going to the gym because I look fat. 200 likes. And it's like, where the hell are y'all at when I'm posting, you know, comic stuff, like my business, where are y'all at then? And the crazy part is like, it'd be creators too, like creators who I'm friends with, like they'll like that stuff.
Just look at my post from like 2 days ago when I posted that I turned down a contract, a publishing contract. There were so many likes and comments, and then look at any other post that I've ever posted. Yeah. And it's like, oh, so people do see that stuff, and then that just leaves you feeling a different kind of way.
You only like to see me struggle.
One of the problems that I see with a lot of social media is the way the algorithm organizes it. So let's just say that you posted something that, you know, a negative post, you know, you turned down something, or you're going to the gym for this reason, and people that wouldn't normally comment or like all of a sudden do. It boosts the posts up. Yep. So now everybody sees it. And I don't like the social media algorithms at all.
Yeah, the algorithms are hard to break through.
Exactly. So you have to post a picture of your comic cover and say, oh, it's so ugly. It needs to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Right. So there you go. My characters need to hit the gym to see how many likes I can get.
This is what
I'm quitting
comedy. It's buried all the way down.
Go to the hospital, mm-hmm. get a wristband, all right? Have your artwork underneath. Post a picture of your arm with the wristband and talk about the comic. Because people are going to stop and go, oh, why has he got the wristband? And if you go into this long thing about your comic, oh, man, I don't really feel well today. And then you talk about the comic cover for a few minutes, and it's like, oh, yeah, I just went to the doctor and got this.
Yep.
You've actually got there, and that's the thing. Like, you have to find a way to get to someone's attention.
I had to go to the doctor because y'all aren't liking my stuff.
Yep. Someone hurt my feelings because I said something about AI, and they canceled me. So I went to the doctor. My heart was palpitating. But, hey, check out this book.
That's great. That's what I've noticed. Like, and if you notice, you ever seen the people who are like, every other month, I'm leaving Instagram.
They need the big announcement, but they never actually follow through.
Yeah.
I'm just going to comment on that one. I'm calling your bluff this time. See you tomorrow.
I love the people that complain that no one likes their stuff or talks about their stuff, but they never, ever give anybody else anything.
Yeah.
Or they complain, oh God, I just posted and somebody just posted the same time as me. I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
It's social media, you know? Why did this person get 10 likes and I didn't? I don't know. They use blue and you use green, you know? Like,
So it's like, it's always interesting for me. Like, I'm just, personally, like, I still use Instagram. Of course, with everything going on, I haven't really been on it recently, but that's about to change. And I've been really trying to revamp it to my YouTube, because one of the aha moments, the epiphanies that I had as I was going through my character bios for my webpage, is I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, I have this big universe, which I know with Crit and also with you, Ed, too, like, I know your world is pretty big too and everything. And I'm like, I have all these characters, but no one really knows anything about the jargon that I use, you know, what is a phenosapien, all this other stuff. So I've just been concentrating on like the videos and stuff. And even with the bios, I've had people, once I've like gone to my Patreon and said, hey, you know, the website's done, check out the character bios. Even with some of the other areas, some of the other groups, like how they have the channels on Instagram. So like I drop in there, you know, and people who've had their favorite characters who have already like read the books, they will go and search for that character and learn even more. And they're like, man, this is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see this stuff. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So that's just been my real big deal, to make stuff more interactive for everyone, you know? So it's like, just telling more about the world without hopefully giving spoilers, because there's a big thing coming up and I'm like, I can't spoil, but I'm gonna tell you more so that you're not, you know,
I'm the king of spoilers. You get me at a con at a table, I'll give away the next 6 issues.
Yeah, that's why I had to stop.
I shouldn't have said all that, but you know, pretend you didn't hear any of that and act surprised when it happens.
They used to call me Chris, you might remember this. I know Aaron, you do, but when I used to go live a lot. A lot of my fans and stuff will be like, oh, he's about to Tom Holland it, because
I do remember that.
Yep. So it was like I would give like a spoiler, but oh crap, I shouldn't have said that. So
I created the wiki for a couple reasons. One, because I lose track of some of my own lore. I have all these like Google Docs and everything that I was using. And then when I went to Instagram to try and get the little, you know, verification mark, it was like, you know, one way to get qualified was to have a wiki. So I went in and built the wiki, and I wound up building it way too far out. So I had to like knock some of those pages back. And that was just kind of a cool thing to have. You know, like, hey, go check out my wiki. It's like, oh yeah, I have one of those. That's kind of cool. And that became like a side project in its own, you know. It's like, all these different things that we as creators have at our disposal that take us away from actually creating, you know, social media being one of them. It's like that love hate relationship. You love to see the reactions, but you hate to do the post.
Yeah.
And that goes back to what you were mentioning earlier, using ChatGPT as a tool, is like, cause you don't want to sit there like, what am I going to put in the caption? Like half of the post is half the time of us posting is the caption.
Yeah,
like putting the
and
picture
I
up there.
I know I'm bad at it.
That's easy.
Like I know that I can't do it right.
Yep. My wife
captions always suck, so I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Just learn to live with it. Look at the pictures. because my captions are not going to move you.
My wife is like a social media genius because she follows all these people that give all this like really good information, and she started sharing it with me. And some of it's like, you know, like type this into ChatGPT and it gives you all this cool information. And I was like, wait a minute, you can do this? Like, I can just go and say, hey, I have a picture that looks like this and I need a caption for it that gets people's attention.
Wow.
And it works.
Uses emojis. It uses emojis and everything.
Yeah. Well, the thing about that people don't understand about the emojis and all that is it helps your algorithm. Like it understands what Instagram wants. So it pumps out what's going to help your page do better. And I've tested it out. I've done posts where like I'll write something that I think is like awesome. 5 likes, you know, maybe 1 comment if I'm lucky. I'll use one of those pre-generated things. Takes me a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, 10, 15 comments, 100 likes. I'm like, really? It's
that's
in it. I mean, what am I doing wrong? You know, right. Hey, I really like this. And I type out this big thing and then nothing. Go to ChatGPT in a couple minutes. I've got something that actually grabs attention. Hey, you know what? Saves me time, right?
You can even put the hashtags in there too, like the hashtags you want to use.
Yep.
And then drop them down at the bottom or put them in the actual caption. So if it's saying something like, for instance, for me, I use, you know, because everybody has their company hashtag, you know, hashtag, you know, Homebrew Comics, hashtag Finish Line, hashtag Catalyst, you know, you can put that in there. And as it's talking, typing or writing it, it even put that in there, the hashtag, and then have all the other hashtags at the bottom used. And I mean, like I said, I think where a lot of people, like where I was talking about the fear of it all and how people think, oh, well, it's cheating. No, because you still have to do the work in order like if you just go in there and say, write me a caption, it's going to write you a caption, but it ain't going to be what you
like,
wanted.
Like you can cheat with it, but that's not how you cheat with it.
Yeah,
no,
right.
No,
that's not how you do it. But
there's creative tools, and then there's cheating. Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, right? Like I always go back to car door locks. Okay, cars aren't the hardest thing to break into. You lock your doors, and my buddy, I go back to high school all the time. So a buddy of mine had like this $10,000 stereo system, and he never locked his doors. And I said, why? Why don't you ever lock your doors? He's like, I just take the headset off. He goes, if someone wants to break into my car, it actually costs more for me to replace the broken window. He goes, locks are just there to keep honest people honest. You know, at the end of the day, no matter what tool you have in front of you, if you're an honest person, you're going to be an honest person. If you're a cheat, you're going to find another way to cheat. If AI is a cheat for you, you were cheating somewhere else before the AI came along.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Did we do it? Did we solve it?
I think we did. Well, we're all canceled, and we're going to find that out as soon as we go off.
Right.
That's true. We
I'll take the blame. I said the magic word and started the debate. So I'll be canceled first.
Yep. Forward to Ed Davis's upcoming AI comic book studio.
Yeah.
So I can't even. You know, I couldn't write my comic book with AI if I tried because it's all pre-recorded. Exactly. You know, I had somebody ask me once, they were like, have you ever thought about editing it? And I'm like, no, because it takes away from the actual purpose of the book, which was to bring my D&D campaign to life.
Yeah.
Now, I use ChatGPT if they say, hey, can we play tomorrow and I have nothing in mind? Yeah. I go, hey, can you give me a real quick one-shot idea for them to play tomorrow? Because I'm in these different groups, and a bunch of DMs were like, hey, if you're not using ChatGPT for your one-shots, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. And so I started talking to them. I'm like, really? Like, what do you do? And they're like, you know, you can't expect it to write the one-shot for you, but it can give you an idea. And if you pump the rules into it, it'll give you some of the DCs and stuff like that. And it works so I tried it once. I just said, you know, in the back of my head, I'm not going to tell them that I'm going to use ChatGPT to create a campaign. Let's see how this goes. And so they're in there and we're going through, and then they throw a curveball at me. So I throw the curveball into ChatGPT. What do I do with this situation? They're doing this, this, and this, and we want to get here. It redirects me. Wow. And so I did this whole thing, and they're like, oh, that was a lot of fun. Like, you know, how'd you come up with that off the top of your head?
That was the
like,
best campaign we've ever done.
I was like, it's that simple, you know? But again, it's just a tool. They were the ones that were making everything happen with their, you know, the roles and then their ideas and stuff. I was just using ChatGPT to help me with in the back end keep things organized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're like, oh, can we do that more often? Because that was they're like, that was easy. And they hate, one of the things they hate is taking up so much time for me because I have a billion other things going on.
Yeah.
And they were like, if that can make your life easier so you're not spending 10 hours creating an idea for us, like, hey. So, again, it's just a tool. I think we did it. We solved it, guys.
The one thing I do agree with you with, like, I could never use ChatGPT to write my stories because I have a specific way that I do dialogue, and I feel like ChatGPT will slaughter it. It will not sound like me. And people are like, he didn't write that because there's a certain way that I do dialogue for.
Well, but beyond all that, like,
people would know right off the bat.
I like to write my stories.
Yeah, that too, right? Yeah, that too. So,
and like, I know where my story's going, and they're the AI's not going to figure out what's in my head. It's
No.
I don't think it's cracked inside a human brain yet. It's like I know exactly the movements of where both my stories are going to go. And if you tried to have ChatGPT create that ending for you, it's going to make a big mess of things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like you said, for a tool for punctuation or something like that, there's no reason not to use it because, I mean, it's like saying spell check is now cheating, you know? And if you use spell check, how dare you? It's like, no, I would misspell every other word if I didn't use spell check.
And I mean, and all those writers that they're using Grammarly.
Legible for Aaron so he doesn't, you know, freak out when he gets a bunch of misspelled words.
Right. And I'm probably gonna get canceled at this part. But for all those writers that they're using Grammarly, guess what you're using?
Yeah. That's all it is.
Again, it's never been labeled as an AI, so people don't know about it.
They don't know. But it is because right now it even has an actual AI part built into it.
Go to
it
Canva.
It works like
How many of us use Canva for stuff?
Yeah.
It's in Canva. And every point of it leads to it's just a tool. And again, if you're using it for art and you're posting it as like your art, there's a problem, right? Yeah. You know, like, hey, this is my character. No, that's not your character. That's did not draw that. Because I know I can go back in your history from 2 months ago and you couldn't draw a good stick figure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like if you're going, hey, this is my character concept, I used AI to come up with the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who can draw this for me?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. It's like, hey, I don't have as much talent as some of the other guys I know, but if I couldn't draw at all and I wanted to hire an artist and I couldn't get on paper what I wanted, type it up real quick. Hey, can you do this? Can you do a character similar to this? Yeah, of course. Again, if we use the tools properly, it's only going to help more content get put out faster.
Yeah.
And what do people want? They want content. You know, indie comics, I think one of the questions was, what is one of the challenges that we face? It's that we have not enough content being created quick enough.
Right.
Because this isn't our full-time job. You know,
we got to pay the bills somewhere else.
I wouldn't have to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I do need to go. My kid needs to go to bed 19 minutes ago, gentlemen.
I need to go to bed 19 minutes ago.
Yeah. Ed, it was great meeting you. I don't think I've actually met you.
I don't think we've been on one before.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Tier, great seeing you again. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate
great talking to you. Tier, you and I are the same age. I just turned 40 on the 6th. So
really?
Yes.
I'm still in on a couple days 50, older than me, so.
Yep.
Oof, I'm hanging in there.
Yeah.
34
I'm 49 this year, so that's the scary one. I'm like, damn, 40s are almost done.
Telling you what, the rest of my birthdays, I'm stopping.
I want to hit the pause button right now, but it doesn't
work. My mom was 25, pretty and smart until I was like 7, and then I realized that she never aged, and I was like, Ma, what's going on here? But gentlemen, it was great. Good talking to you. This was a fun chat. Aaron, thanks for having me on. Let me know if you've got another spot sometime.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you coming on, man.
Later, guys.
Same. Bye. Later.
Take it easy, Bruce.
We'll close it out with Ralph's question, if you guys have an answer. Any advice for a new or inexperienced creator?
Wow. I mean, I think just get your story planned out before you start looking at trying to pull an art team or anything together. Know where you're going to go. And once you've created your direction, that's the point that you start to find an artist and build your team, and don't expect miracles. I mean, if you're going to crowdfund it, don't think, hey, I'm going to get a $10,000 Kickstarter because I saw this other book that's kind of like mine and they got $10,000. So make sure that your goals are obtainable and save some money, because a lot of it's going to come out of your pockets to start. So before I even launched issue one of my book, I had several thousand dollars put away to cover everything, assuming that my Kickstarter was going to go down in flames and that it was all going to be me. Don't assume you're going to do well, but you know, enjoy it if you do, but plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Exactly. Ed, you covered everything that I was either. I was thinking Ed covered everything. The only thing I will add into that is, like, in your writing, depending on the type of writer that you are, if you don't know how to do scripts and things like that, there is this amazing book called Panel One. Find it. It has like different script writing methods that other comic book creators have used, like Kevin Smith and many other ones. Like, it has all of their script writing and all the different ways, because everybody writes scripts differently. Like, the way I write my script may not be how Aaron writes his, or how Ed writes his, or how Chris writes his. We all have our style. So I'm not saying get it and copy. I'm just saying get it and see what vibes with you.
Yeah, find the one that works. Because I didn't know about that book, but I just went to all of my trades that I had in my bookcase and looked at the back. With they all have those little script excerpts. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading all these different ones. So I'm like, oh, that style works for what I want to do. And yeah, I mean, that's how I found them. Because you get the, especially if you buy the nice deluxe hardcovers of any book, you're going to find a script excerpt in the back and use the one that works. Yep. But don't use Alan Moore's. There's your only piece of advice.
Yeah, I think his script writing is in the book.
It's amazing, but you're going to put it different on a doorknob. You're going to, like, all right, here's the next three pages on this doorknob right here.
Yeah, that dude is very.
And to him, it means something.
Oh yeah, it matters to him. Mm-hmm. But if you want to start writing a script, you don't want to start that path, because your artist is going to have to sit there just kind of X-ing out, like, all right, I don't need to know any of this. I'm just drawing a yellow doorknob. That's all I needed.
Exactly.
Luckily, here's how Ralph circumvented that was he hired Joe DeSantos from Tilt to do the art, and then through that hired me to write his ideas as a script.
Okay. Well,
that works. Yeah, you can do that too. Like, if you don't know how to do it, like, if you know how to write a story, you can hire a script writer. Aaron writes scripts. Yep. I write scripts. I haven't done it for anyone, but
I've never done it for anyone, but I could. I mean, my particular style would work for whatever script comes my way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't I mean, I think the biggest issue is I barely have enough time to write my own stuff. So I don't think I need to be taking on other people's.
There, that part.
Yeah, I get it.
I will also add this too. Whenever you're finding your artist, well, this is two things that I do, and you don't have to do it. It really depends on your comfort level. But the one thing that I try to look at is I try to make sure that the artist is not only eager to get paid, but actually enjoys the story.
Yeah, man, crucial.
Yeah, it's very crucial, because the artist really enjoys the story and what it is that you're trying to bring to it. When they draw, it's going to show. You're going to see it on the pages. And also, maybe give the artist a little bit of creative freedom, just a little bit. Because the way we write stuff in our scripts, when the artist is drawing it, they might be like, hey, that doesn't work too well, or this is too many movements, or too much action for this one character in this panel. So I'm going to add two more like mini panels or whatever to finish that action that you were talking about. So give them that little bit of creative freeway. Like, don't be, it's my book, do it how I said. Cause they're going to do it, but it's not going to look good. Like, you're going to like it, but
they're the artist. Artists would be drawing our own books. So we got to trust their instincts.
Thanks, Rob. Well, we did it. We solved every problem that comic books is facing today. And now we can go home better and stronger than we were.
We're the only think tank that matters right here.
That's right. Anyway, if I get hate for this, I'm just going to direct them straight to Ed. and that'll be great. I appreciate you guys coming on. I'm glad that I got a group together that I enjoy talking to. I don't know what the next episode will look like for everybody. Make sure that you go check out Sovereign Comics' new spanking shiny website.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And check out Finish Line Comics, and definitely be looking for Corruptor. Ed froze on the bottom there, so that's a shame. Yeah. But anyway, I appreciate everybody that's been watching. This will be in audio format on aarondowen.substack.com in a couple of days. I'll get to it at some point. But yeah, from us, thanks. And thanks, Jessica, for running producer mode in the background so I didn't have to do it.
That's awesome. We'll
see everybody next time.
Take it easy, everyone. Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Of course, man.